All right, one proverb, Proverbs 14, verse 20. Just a sets us up a little bit for the message, which I believe will produce faith in our hearts. And at the end of the service, I mean during the service, but later on, we'll have some pastors stand here with some anointing oil if you want to have prayer and you want to share something with one of the pastors, a need you have or prayer request. So we'll do that at the service today. This will be our prayers, the Spirit to move and minister to our hearts. And we touch Christ. Turn to Proverbs 14, verse 20, please. This is only a few minutes. We'll do the offering, then we'll do the message, and then we'll have prayer for people. Tonight, also, we have chicken. Is it catchatory? Does that make sense? Chicken what? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Real good food. That's tonight at 5 o'clock at the Fellowship Hall, and it's all you can eat. Yeah, so I've been waiting for this. It's $5, all you can eat down there at 5 o'clock. Then we'll have our service. We have special music tonight, some visitors, and we'll have prayer and a good message by God's grace ministering to us. I'm excited in the Lord. I am. I'm excited in the Lord. I'm thankful. Look around the room for a minute. Do you see anybody in here you don't know? Do you see anybody in here you don't know them personally? Okay, and you look around. We have a new person here, Colleen, right? Yeah. Colleen's kind of new. Okay, you want to stand up, Colleen? Okay, there she is. There's one. So, you know what you could do? I mean, if it's appropriate, if you feel right about it, go over to her and say, Colleen, could I buy you a $5 dinner tonight? I'll meet you down there at 5 o'clock, and we can eat down there. You know, that would be cool. So look around again in the room. I'm not saying the men are looking for the ladies, and I'm not saying the ladies are looking for the men, but I'm not saying that I have any control over that. I'm definitely not saying that, okay. But I'm thinking more in terms of people getting to know us better and being here in the Lord. Giving us a great time at that dinner time at 5 tonight. And then we come down the sidewalk and have our fellowship here. I was thinking maybe, I don't know if Pastor Shabelli will be down there or not. You usually disciple people. Oh, you have a, yes, right, you got some meetings, that's right. I was saying I was going to have him down there and him share. Well, Pastor Jason will be doing that. Well, I'll be down there too, so we'll have a good. Okay, look at this. Okay. Do you think rich people have a lot of friends? Let's read the verse. Yeah, not really. Okay. Okay. The poor is hated even as of his own neighbor. But the rich has many friends. Not real friends. They piped up over here on my left. Not real friends. How many NFL football players who signed the big contract, suddenly the phone starts ringing? You know, how about that? People gravitate to the money. Okay. But do they gravitate to the person? Are they after the person? What does the person have? What if there isn't much in the person? But they have money, but they don't. What do they have? When Jesus Christ came into the world, he came because he had something. He had something, didn't he? You could touch him and you're touching God. And there are, this is a little difficult because if we draw a picture of it here, let's see if I can do it. Where do I get the colors? Oh no, I don't know where I am on that. Is it that one? Oh, it's that one. Okay, thank you. This one? Okay. How about that? Did that come up? Okay, that's you. In the same way, when people maybe want your stuff, let's draw a picture of your stuff here. Here's your stuff. It's a box. In the same way with God, that people maybe want the stuff, but do they want God? This is the way we are. We as people, we would like the rich man, like I would, the rich man has a lot of friends. Why? Because he has a lot of stuff. And they want the stuff. But do they want the man? And what does a man have? And there's a great story with Elijah. And Elijah, I say the name's the same. They're spelled differently. They're two different people. Elijah, I'll try it. Elijah. Elijah. And Elisha, he followed him. And they went across the river. And on the other side of the river, Elijah said, "What would you like from me? What do you want from me?" And Elisha could have said, I like your bank account, I like your house, I like your stuff. But he didn't. He said, "I want your spirit. I want twice your spirit. I want your spirit." A lot of people don't think about life deeply enough to understand that really I don't need your stuff as much as I need and want what you have in God, in your spirit, in your heart. I would like your love, your prayer, your encouragement, your wisdom, your faith. I like your nature and character to enrich me. I want your spirit, Elisha said. Same with Jesus. Some people follow Jesus because of the free lunch. They follow me because they want a free lunch. Remember? Yeah. Some Christians are following God because they're rolling the dice. They're thinking, maybe if I honor God somehow, I'll get his stuff. Whatever that may mean. But the message today, we'll get to it in a few minutes, is that I would like to have the person. I would like the person. And we want to say the same thing regarding God. We would like his person. And when Jesus left, this is what he promised. The Spirit would come. And he's like me. And he will dwell in you. And he will teach you. And you will love one another. And you'll pray in my name. And I will do it. I am God. Okay. Amen. That's it. Could you stand with me for a moment? If the person you're inviting to the dinner tonight is nearby, turn to them and invite them. Say, would you like to go with me? Chicken cacciatore. Ah, praise God. Amen. Praise God. I love you guys. I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Marty and Sue, I love you. Pastor Jim, Penny. Wow. Thank you, Lord. The high school basketball team. Wow. Great. Coach, you did a great job. Your wife, too. I think she's involved. That must be so great. Yeah, this was the state championship, right? What? Conference finals. State of Maryland. The best team won. We were behind 99% of the whole game. We were trailing by 4 points, 8 points, 2 points. And then at the end, couple three-pointers, every follow shot made, calls made in our direction. Wow. The calls went like this. We're like, oh, and then, oh. Wow, we got the call. So that worked out. So they're going to go to Tennessee for the Nationals, right? The Nationals, that's huge. That's amazing. He does a great job. Our whole the school, you do, Coach. You're just awesome. Great job. So good. Wow. Okay, are we ready for a message? All right, just say it to your neighbor for a minute. Hey, are you ready for a message? Come on, let's pray up a storm. Are we ready for a message? Owen, are we ready? Asia? Are we ready for a message? We need a message. We need a message, amen? We need a message. Lord, help us. Give us a message. Okay? All right. In your name, Lord, amen. You may be seated. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. And we'll put up on the screen again the iPad sketch. And there it is. It's as clear as mud, isn't it? Where does your brain go when you look at that picture? Don't tell me. Okay. I am afraid it is like this, that I could know you. I could know you, but maybe I don't know you. I don't touch you, or I don't know you. I don't know you. I might know your stuff, and in some circles that means your name, your reputation, your money, your influence, but do I know you? Remember, Jesus at the Last Supper said when the disciple was it Philip, said, show us the Father. Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you don't know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? To touch Jesus Christ, like the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, and she crawls through and touches him when he is being touched by many people in the crowd. But he says to Peter, who touched me? And he answers, many people are touching you. And he looks and he sees the woman and he knows. I'm only saying rich people because it is in the proverb and it's a good graphic picture of people relating to people on some level that is actually very common. It's common. But in our faith, we would like to know God. And this is really seen here in this story with these two, with the one prophet, with the other man in the school of the prophets. This is chapter 2, 2 Kings, verse 9. Sorry, the guys running that are very good. It's just that I don't tell them until the last minute. And 2 Kings 2, 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. Ask what I shall do for you. Actually, you don't have to do anything for me. It's not what you do for me. You can't do. It's who you are. That's what I need. It's who you are. That's what I want. Who are you? Who you are, I want double who you are. It's a similar thing with God. We really want to know him. That's his name is I Am. When Moses said, what is your name? God wasn't saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do this for you and this for you and this. But he said, I am that I am. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, you understand me. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that has changed your life. That the Holy Spirit came into your life. And by the way, be patient with that change. Some changes are radical in the lives of people. And some of the change, it just takes some years. But the change is happening because you are touching God. And whenever we touch God, this is the Holy Spirit, whenever we touch God, there's a satisfaction and an awareness of his nature, his character. Verse 10 says, and he said, where are we? I'm sorry, 9. Ask what I will do for you before I be taken from you. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Look at our sketch here. Like, what could I do for you? Give me your stuff. Or let what you have in the spirit be given to me twice. You know, we have a Bible college here, and the only thing we can give to people is that which is spiritual. We hand out certificates and diplomas at the end of the school year of the curriculum, and we're very proud of that in the way and thankful for all that has happened in a period of time when somebody is laboring in their hearts. But any one of us could shift to the stuff and think, what can you give me? And we can say, we cannot give anything more important and anything greater than the ministry of Christ that has been given to us. For this will endure. This will not fade away. This will be ours forever and ever. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secrets of God belong to him and to him whom he will reveal them and to their children. I have called you friends because I tell you my secrets. The people that continue are the people that are touching the character and the person. But the people that are after the stuff, like Jesus, let's follow Jesus and see what he will give us. Let's follow Jesus and see what will happen today. Let's follow Jesus and see how good it would we get a free lunch. Let's follow Jesus because we will see some healing. But when it came down to knowing him, that is for all of us our desire. Okay, now go to Jeremiah chapter 2, please. And this shows us what happens to us in the church, as happened in Israel. What happened in Israel was heartbreaking to God, because God brought them out of Egypt by the power, and they saw it, and they realized that God did this. But they couldn't, they just, look at verse 1. We're going to go to verse 13. It's a long text, but it won't be a long message. I don't plan on it to be. We'll cut through it and say a few things. Verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of thine espousals. This is the wedding, pre-wedding engagement period. This is the wedding, the marriage. This is the beginning of their relationship. You know, when Jews came out of Egypt, they were married to God. The nation was married to God. And God says, I remember you in this beginning period. When you went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Using a sketch, Israel shifted. What did you find wrong in me, God is saying? What's wrong with me? I am God. What's wrong with me? I can answer it right away. Your ways are a problem to me. Your ways are a problem to me. We were in the wilderness starving. God says, but I gave you manna. Yes, but the manna wasn't enough. I mean, we had to have it every day. God is saying, do you know me? Do you know me? We have a problem with your ways. We were 40 years in the wilderness. God is saying, there's two messages here. God is saying, yeah, but did you know me? I was with you when your shoes did not wear out. I was with you when your clothes were not too worn out. I was with you when I fed you. I was with you and I was protecting you. And the Shekinah glory of God came on the tabernacle when Moses built it. I was there. Did you see me? Did you know me? We could say, Lord, I'm concerned about myself in this, because I think you could disappoint me. If my child is disabled, if I lose my house, if I lose my job, if I lose my health, if I get a cancer, I just believe that all these things are so important to me. And please keep me from all that. And Tom Schaller says, amen. I hope I hope we will be saved from our trouble. On the other hand, there's a message here, and that is that we are called to know God and to be humble and broken before God. And when we get in trouble, there's a huge possibility of saying, Lord, I want your stuff. And you know what I mean. I want the good life. I want answers to all the things that I desire. I want life to go my way. And I have to be careful how I say this, because I'm just like everybody here. Yes, Lord. But we believe that knowing you and your spirit is better than anything we would ever want. We just believe that your peace will go with us, that your nature will be imparted to us. It is in us now, that we will be in fellowship with the nature of God, and the love of God endures, never fails. God's spirit, God's love never fails. The spirit filling me, that's what I need. But Lord, I don't know your ways. And he says, you're right, Isaiah 55, you don't know my ways, nor do you know my thoughts. But come unto me, learn of me. I am meek. I am lowly. Learn of me. And I will give you a yoke that is easy and a burden is light. And you have to ask, in the Jewish picture in the wilderness, there was two men, Caleb and Joshua. And they would say at the end of the 40 years, not a big problem. It was a challenge, but I got to know God in it. God was comforting me in the night. God was encouraging me in my faith. God was visiting me in my fellowship. I saw the glory of God in the wilderness. God was with me in the trial. God was with me in life. I touched God, not the things about God. I mean that too. But there's some problem that people have with this. And we can read it here. Look at verse chapter 2 and verse, where were we? Okay, 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. They didn't say, where is the Lord? Why didn't they say, where is the Lord? Because they were more like saying, where is the Lord's stuff? Where they didn't say, where is God? And that should be like in our life. Like, I want to find God in my life. I need God. I need his kindness, his comfort, his power, his wisdom. I need his spirit. I need his fellowship. I need his patience. I need his grace. I need his words. I need his friends. If you are a friend of God, then I want to be your friend. Because the friend of God is going to help me in my fellowship with God. Read the next, please. It says, verse 7, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? Wow. The priest didn't say, where's the Lord? Have you ever Have you ever been in a church, maybe a traditional church in America, as a young believer, as I did, as I was kind of looking around? I would go into the church and basically say, where's the Lord? And I didn't know anything. I don't know where he is. And I don't, if he was there, I probably wouldn't even recognize him or know him. But where is the Lord? Where is God in this church? Where is God in my life? Where is God in my past, in my future? Where is God in my fellowship? Where is God in my prayer life? I think sometimes we are not praying because we're not seeking for God. Instead, we're asking for the stuff. God, you know I've got to win the lottery this week. You know that, Lord. I'm going to give by $5 worth of tickets. And that's why I'm going to meet God, right? God will say, take your foolishness and come to me with a broken heart and get serious with me and I'll be serious with you. And sometimes we wonder why there isn't more of the moving and the Spirit of God going on in the lives of people. And you kind of ask yourself the question, are they asking the question, where is God? Not what is he going to do for me, but instead I need to touch his Spirit or his Spirit twice, the Spirit, Elisha said, I want a lot of what you've got. You don't have anything you could give me to satisfy my hungry and thirsty soul. There's no pile of money. There's no name on the earth. There's no government in the world. There's no opportunity you could dream up. There's nothing that you could ever offer me that could compare to what it means for us to have a relationship with God. God is Almighty God. Listen to some of his names. I took this out of the back of a Thompson Chain Bible. It's the names of Christ. I won't read them all. They are many. Who is Christ? He is the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Amen, the arm of the Lord, author and finisher of your faith, of your faith. He started it. He is going to finish it. He is the author of eternal salvation, not salvation that you have it one day and you lose it the next day. Author of eternal salvation. You cannot lose it. He saves you forever. It's ridiculous to think you can lose your salvation. I hope everybody understands that. Be like a father that says at the dinner table, children, listen to me. I got 5 children in front of me. Those children, listen to me. I love you. Your mother and father, we love you. We'll be faithful to you. You get in trouble in school, we will be there. Ever any of you go to prison, I will be there. I will visit you. I will be your counselor. I will love you. I will never fail you. I will be your father. I am your father for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. But I'm a good father, a good, good father. And I'll be there wherever you are, at whatever station in life. If you disappoint me, you cannot destroy the love that I have for you. I love you. You could be wrong, but I will not cut off. You cannot stop being my children. I might not agree with you, but I will still be your father. And that's the way it is. I'll not cut you off. But some people think this way. Children, your mother and father love you, but I've got to tell you something. If you ever bring shame on this family, I'm going to have to cut you off. If you ever disappoint me and your mother and hurt us deeply, then the relationship is over and you are disowned. That's over. It's over. That's ridiculous. Maybe you grew up in that kind of a family, but that's not God's family. God's family is different. I gave my son so I will never leave you or forsake you. I gave you my son so that you would know my nature and character, that your love and that the love that I have for you will never fail. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. This is what Jeremiah wants to say. Would you go to the text, please? It's chapter 2, verse 8. The priest said, you see that? They didn't say, where is the Lord? They didn't say it. They just go about their program. Hey, where's the Lord? Shh. We're doing our duties. We're doing our program. Nobody's saying, hey, God's not here. Where is he? Where's God? Isn't that beautiful? Where is God? That's beautiful. The movements of God through human history for people that are seeking God and nothing less than God. Verse 8. Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wow. What a mouthful. What a great text of scripture. They are doing all kinds of stuff, but they do not know me. God is heartbroken. Jesus Christ comes. What are we talking about? This is just before, let's say, 600 years later, Christ comes into the world. Same thing is going on. They are doing their religious duty, but they are not finding the reality of God. And God, Christ is saying, I am here, but you will not come to me. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I am weeping for you. Because you don't know the peace that I have for you. But if you knew what I have for you and what I would do for you, you would in a moment seek me and you will find me. Verse 9, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see and send unto Kedar and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? Have you changed your gods that are no gods? What a good verse that is. How about the United States of America? In God we trust. Praise God for our leaders that put that on our money. Praise God, what a beautiful thing to put on the money. In God we trust. How'd they ever get that done? That was an amazing thing to say. In God we trust. Okay. America, where have you gone? Your gods are no gods. They are cheap, sell out, phony, empty, tinsel, hollow, empty sex gods. There's sex. I mean, are people choking on it enough? Are people sick and tired of it enough? Are they polluted enough? Are they twisted and perverted enough by their sin nature and their infatuation and occupation with sex? There is no God. There is nothing. It's hormones and body, flesh. It's what do you have? What do you have? Do you have any mind, dignity, trust, truth? Do you have spirit? Do you have holiness, power, authority? What do you have by worshiping the gods? How about money? Money. It seems like everything is about money. It's money, money, money everywhere. The box. Become a Christian. Get rich. We can all say it doesn't work, does it? about become a Christian. You know, what is it? I don't think people say that, but it just is forced on us. Like we buy things we don't, you know all that. Buy stuff and we have it in us and maybe this is what makes us happy or we get this or we compare on the social media and what she's doing, what they're buying, what they're getting, how much they have, what they have. Listen, when you see a beautiful family and you don't have one, get real humble and say in your heart, I am so happy there's a beautiful family there. We need many of them. And Father, maybe I'm not married or I don't have children or whatever it might be, but you get humble before God and you come to God. Not the stuff, but you come to God and you touch the Spirit of God. And say, Father, would you pour your heart and blessing out upon those people and every child in that family, because great are the enemies that are against the family. Great are the lies that are in this world that are against our blessing. Great is the deception that is in this world that is against our blessing. And God, help us to know you. There it is. Read that with me, please. It's in verse 11. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished. And I think we should understand that there's a day coming when who you are will be seen, who you are. That'll be beautiful. Now in this world, maybe we are not recognized, and that's okay. That's very good, actually, because now we can live by faith and not be occupied with ourselves in some wrong way. But we don't know who we are. But Jesus gave us some guarantees that the last will be first. And that woman that gave the two mites and nobody saw it, but he saw it. This woman has put in more than everybody else. That Jesus understood there was a world coming. And that kingdom that is coming is going to be honoring those that are meek and have found the walk of faith with the nature of God. This is our satisfaction that we have found it. Verse 12 says, be astonished, O you heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. And for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Could you go? Okay. Very simply, my people committed two evils. Now just look at the box here. My people are looking at the box, okay? The stuff for life. This is what they want. Yeah, who is God? God is the God that will give me the stuff. But we say, wait a minute. What if he doesn't give you the stuff? Yeah, are we called to know him? Yeah. But if we look at the stuff that we're looking for, there's two things about it. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. So the source of the water is not God, it's something else. The source is maybe it's a bottle of alcohol. The source is entertainment or money, or the source is some other thing that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the source of the water. I'm looking for another source because I have forsaken God. I don't want to pay the price of what it means to know God. I don't want to pay that price of being so honest before God, broken before God. I don't want to pay that price. I don't want to sit in a meeting and just listen and hear the guys say over and over again, you got to hear the word of God. I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to be with these people. I don't want to hear these things anymore. I want to live my life, and I got to say to you seriously and sincerely, don't do that, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because if you forsake him, you're going to hew out a cistern. In limestone land in Israel, you can take a metal like axe and chip away the stone underground and make a hole that'll hold water. Runoff water, because water is precious in the Middle East, and this is where how they get water. Jerusalem is on a high ground, no river there, high ground, and they need the water from rain, and they need cisterns to hold the water. But if in the ground, in the rock, there's a crack, the water will run out through the crack, and that's the meaning here. They have hewed out cisterns, but they're broken. Like when the water comes in, it's there for a couple of days and then it seeps and it's gone. It doesn't hold it. It doesn't hold it. It doesn't hold it. Can you get it? You get one girlfriend and then it's kind of lost. And you get another girlfriend and I get one bottle. And then I get one pile of this or that. I get some happiness. I get 3 weeks of happiness or a couple months of happiness, and somehow it drains away. It's gone, like the morning cloud. But we're saying that Christ is the fountain of living water, and he's given us a cistern that can hold it. We are holding it. Have you noticed it? We are holding it. We're holding it. It's been decades. We're holding it. It's not changing. It's true. The truth of 40 years ago is the truth of the moment. The truth of the moment, meaning Christ is enough. God is enough. God is satisfying. And you are able to hold it and think about it, relate to it, and know the same God that showed up at the beginning of your salvation is the same God that's taking you to the end. For he is the author and the finisher of it. Let me go through this. I know this is, I thought it'd be, he is the counselor, the dayspring, the deliverer, the door, the everlasting Father, the faithful witness, the first and last, the first begotten. He is the glory of God. He is God. He is the good shepherd, the governor, the great high priest, the head of the church, the heir of all things. He is the holy child, the Holy One of Israel, the horn of salvation, the I am. He is Emmanuel, Yahweh, Jesus, judge of Israel, just, king, lawgiver, lamb, leader, life, light of the world, lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of all, the man of sorrows, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah. He's the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the only begotten son, our Passover, prince of kings, prince of life, prince of peace. He's the prophet, redeemer, resurrection and life, rock, root of David, rose of Sharon, savior, seed of the woman, the shepherd, Shiloh, son of the blessed, son of David, son of God, son of the highest, son of man. Listen, what is the point? Hey, yeah, pray. Why would I depart from him? Why would I leave him? Why do I live by my gut? And I go with my gut and I have a God that is no God. Just nothing but foolishness. It breaks my heart when I'm in it. I've seen it. Breaks my heart. I can't stand it. I see somebody precious and their life is becoming foolish and empty and twisted. And they cannot find the way. They cannot find the way. They don't know how to find the way. They are frustrated and empty and hurting people. And they don't know who God is. And when we are finding God and knowing God and learning and growing in God, you never forget. You do never return back. You never go to some place and get occupied with those things and that way of thinking, that way of life that will steal from you and destroy you. Because God is good. Really. Wow. I'm hurt by it. Bothers me a lot. It really does. I'm sorry about it. I don't see it getting better. It's not a game. People die. Stupid. They die. Overdose. They die. They are shamed. It's horrible. Wow. We cannot. We have to fight a good fight and care about it. And we ourselves, rooted and grounded, growing. And God is going to take care of you. He's going to fill you, anoint you, take care of you, lead you, and teach you. And know your flesh. Know your flesh. Know what it is. And say, no. No, not it. You see, you have an advantage. Unsaved people don't know what to do. They get in trouble. You know, they can't even believe they did that. So they don't even know what to do. You have an advantage. You know what to do. It's like, turn to me. Turn to me. God is speaking. And you say, turn to me. You have forsaken me, and you made a life, and it can't hold any water, and you know it, and this is happening to you over and over again, and I'm asking you to come back to me. And I will not shame you. I will not destroy you. I will not hurt you. I will comfort you. I will save you. I gave my son so that you could have this, and I am serious about it. We say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are serious about it, and I take it, everything. I want twice. I want the Spirit, and I want everything you got for me in your nature. I want you, and your stuff comes and goes, whatever that is, but I want you. There we go. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for the congregation here that responds to your word. And for anyone here in the auditorium, you want your life somehow cleaned up, or you make your confession to God, it's between you and God, and you say, Lord, I need a double portion. I need your Spirit in my life. I don't trust myself at all. I don't trust my ways. I don't trust my understanding of things. I don't trust my life, my friends. I don't trust what I'm doing entirely. I mean, in this sense, I need you as my God, and I will have no other God before me. I bring it all before you. Clean it up, Lord. Clean up my life. Forgive me. Wash me clean and fill me with your Spirit and teach me the way. In Jesus' name. If you've never become a believer, do it now. Say to Jesus, it's by faith. Yes, Jesus, say it to him. By faith, just say, Jesus, save me. Save me, I pray, in your name. Lord Jesus, save me. Wash me clean. Save me, Jesus. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Okay, we will just ask the pastors to come down front as we close, and we'll give you a minute or two if you want to come forward for prayer, to be anointed with oil, or come for healing, or share with one of the pastors. And we'll just do that now as we close. So feel free if you think the Lord spoke to our hearts, and He knows. He knows if there's something in your life. He knows you have a need. He knows. He cares about you. And if you would like to come forward for somebody to touch you with a prayer, lay hands on you, or pray for you, then please come. You're welcome. What can God do? What can God do? Yes. Nothing less than the great grace. He's the healer, the Savior, the one that forgives, washes clean, forgives us, empowers us, anoints us for the area that we live in, Lord, the state of Maryland. For our leaders, Jesus, for churches in the city and for the state and the area, for the churches, the power and the blessing, oh God, that we could seek and find, know you as the God of all grace. We are at rest and at peace as the objects of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A new wave in the country, a wave of love, a wave of understanding, a wave of mercy, a wave of the gospel preached for all the men of God in the country. So many amazing, David, Jeremiah, Lord, Charles Stanley, Andy Stanley, men of God, Father, we pray in your name, bless and move. Through our country, we pray for our leaders in our country. Pray for the Spirit of God to move in towns and villages everywhere in Jesus' name. Heal marriages, bless children, teenagers. Get people off the street and save souls, Lord. And put us on the street and lead us in ministry in our homes and in our neighborhoods, Lord. And save souls, for you are God, and there is no other. We ask it in your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Would you all stand with me now, please? Stand, and we'll do the benediction. Father, we pray you dismiss us as we go. Bless and lead us this week with your presence in our lives. In ministry and leading, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.